Welcome to NFL Total Access, the locker room. I'm Michael Robinson.
And I'm Mike Garofalo. All Mike show today, Mike Rob.
Yes, it is. Today we got Hall of Fame linebacker Mike Singletary on the pod. And guys, you're not going to believe the story he tells about when he found out Buddy Ryan was leaving the Chicago Bears. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, and we talked to him about possibly getting back into the coaching game, plus what he's doing off the field as he's taken a step back from thinking he was all in on the coaching. Listening, he's doing great work.
Jeezy, we got a good one today. He's been on the podcast before, but again, he's one of my favorite people. One of my favorite people in the world. One of the top linebackers ever play in our game. My old head coach. Coach Mike Singletary. Coach, what's going on?
Man, I can't call it. You got it. You got it. Know it.
Yeah, Coach. Well, first of all, you already know how we do on the Total Access podcast, right? We do our locker room stories. Last time, you told us a story about how Walter Payton was a prankster and all of those things, man. So this is your second time to bless the podcast with another locker room story.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of what's really unique, what a lot of people really don't understand is guys have their own show that they like to watch.
Yeah.
And some guys like to watch As the World Turns. Some guys like to watch, whatever, all of the shows that come on, these guys have their own shows. And Steve McMichael had one, and his show, of course, you know, Vanna White was on the show.
Uh-oh.
So these guys, and there's another show with Erica, a lady by the name of Erica on the show. I can't remember which one that was. But these guys are about to go to blows over which show they're going to watch. Man, I'm watching her. Vanna White, I got to watch her. And we're listening to these guys. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is a locker room, man. This is football. But these guys are about to go to blows over which show they want to watch. And it's not just a handful of guys. There's a lot of guys. So it's that was always an interesting deal as to who got to watch which. And the guy that got in the locker room first, that's the guy that had the channel changer and watched what his show was.
They was watching shows in the locker room?
Yeah, we had a television in the locker room, and hey. If the guys wanted you to be quiet, man, depending on who it was, you had to be quiet so they could listen to their show.
Coach, I'm a young and a restless guy. So, you know, if I was in that locker room, I would have had to, you know, my stories, man, Victor Newman, that's my dude, man. So, and I was actually on the show before too. So I love Young and the Restless, man. Yeah.
Now, see, yeah. I'm the kind of guy, I'm thinking, wait a minute. We don't have shows in here, man. This is football. Turn on something with football. We don't have these kind of shows. Get out of here with this stuff. But
listen,
I don't know how that is.
Here's the beauty of Mike Singletary. You could be on, I mean, because you probably have, we asked for the locker room story. You probably have an endless supply of locker
yes,
room stories. Like, that's your ticket to get onto the Total Access Locker Room podcast. You got to have the story. So I'd imagine now, this has been two times for you, you're just scratching the surface, and you've got plenty of tickets in your back pocket, right?
But let me tell you, there's a good reason for that now. And Mike will tell you now what happens in the locker room, it stays in the locker room.
Not too.
So I got to be very, very, very careful about
it. I understand that. I understand that completely. Trust me. Now, listen, you talk about that locker room. You talk about the personalities that you were around. You were coached by, you know, a guy in Mike Ditka. That was a phenomenal player. Right, like, we're talking about Kyle Pitts potentially going over 1,000 yards. It's nuts yeah. to me that Mike Ditka is the first and only tight end, 1961, and it wasn't even a passing era that he went over 1,000 yards as a rookie tight end, and that record still stands. Again, Pitts probably going to break it this year, but incredible, incredible. So tell us what he was like, you know, as a coach. To have that kind of personality, because today you can't be, I don't even know if Dan Campbell is about as out there as you get, and he's nowhere near Mike Ditka.
No, you're right. Well, Mike was really an interesting guy, and it's unfortunate because he's the most misunderstood coach of all time. I would go into Mike's office, and Mike would have all types of books and tapes on his desk trying to figure out how to relate to these players, how to talk so they listen. How to talk like a gentleman, how to talk quietly, and I would just sometimes just walk in the office because he was sitting there studying. And when I walked in the office without knocking, you know, he'd be fired up. Hey, what are you doing? He's knocking stuff off his desk so I'm not seeing what he's reading. So what are you reading there? Don't worry about it. What can I do for you? He's trying to get me out of the office, but he was always trying, and he worked really hard at his personality. And there weren't enough books to really help him, but he tried really hard.
Coach, I mean, obviously we always talk about that 1985 Bears team. In your opinion, like, what was the key to the success? I know you've told us before, you know, I was on one of your teams that you coach, and you've talked to us before about kind of, it may not have been that year, it might have been the year before, when you guys kind of were losing, were going through some stuff, that you guys kind of came together as a team. So in your mind, like, what was the key to the success of that team?
You know what, I've gone back a number of times and looked at the roster. Mm-hmm. And people talk all the time, man, that team was really loaded with a lot of talent. That team was there, and it really wasn't. But I tell you, the difference was this. When somebody made a mistake, mm-hmm. someone else would walk up to him and get in their face and say, hey, man, look, that can't happen again. We are a team. We are working together. We have permission to get in each other's faces. And I remember, for me, people ask me, which guy was the guy on defense that really held you accountable? And I want to tell you, Dan Hampton and I never got along when I was playing. Really? We never got along. If a running back made two plays, Dan Hampton would jump up and find me and say, Samurai, come on, man, you're supposed to be making that play. And I'd be saying, get out of my face, man. What is wrong with you? And then when the quarterback threw the ball down the field, I'm in his face saying, hey, what's up here? Get to the quarterback. What are you guys doing? And so he and I had that relationship my whole career. And the day that I got the call about going into the Hall of Fame, I sat in the chair and I thought, which teammate am I going to call first? And I surprised myself. Dan Hampton was the guy that I called first.
Really?
My teammate, because he held me accountable and he got in my face when he felt that I was not doing my job. And I appreciated that, because that's the thing that made our team special. We had 11 guys that did not want to lose. We refused to lose. And when you have guys like that it matters, it's not about the money, it's not about, you know, partying after the game. Guys are really pissed off when they don't win. Let me tell you something. You got something.
Do you think the modern athlete still wants that? Do you think the modern football player still wants that level of accountability from his teammates? Because Coach Singh, you know, you and I have talked about this before, about the modern kid, the type of athlete that's coming into our league. You know, oftentimes they've, you know, transferred different schools so that they can play, which back in the day that you didn't get much of that. Like, is that still something, that accountability you're talking about with a championship team? Is that something you think that a modern kid wants in our league?
Well, you know, now you're talking about something that's really interesting, because it's not just the athlete, it's our society. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, social media affects everyone. It affects the kid that's going to school. It affects the classroom. It affects the, you know, test scores. It affects everything, because everybody now is like, hey, don't judge me. Hey, you know, don't come down on me. Hey, don't bully me. However it is. But I think really what it comes down to is our society right now, we have to get back to the work ethic. We have to get back to making sure that, you know, we take pride in what we're doing. I don't know what it's going to take to get back there, but I'm doing everything that I can on my part to make sure that those that I come in contact with, instilling that work ethic and pride in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, That's the thing that's going to make a difference. It's not how fast you run. It's not how high you can jump. It's will you get up when somebody punched you in the mouth and it really, really hurts and you're really embarrassed. Will you still get up and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to punch you again, baby. Let's go. Let's go with it.
I love it.
Real quick, back to Dan Hampton. Was he the one that threw the chair? Somebody threw a chair and somebody smashed a projector the night before the Super Bowl. Because it
Steve
was like
Steve McMichael threw the chair.
What?
And Dan Hampton smashed the projector.
I didn't hear about that. Coach, what happened? I did not hear about that story, man.
What? They were, you tell, obviously you tell it, Mike. I just heard it secondhand.
You know, we were sitting in the room. Night before the Super Bowl. And Buddy Ryan had told everybody that he was leaving but me. I did not know he was going to leave. And I didn't believe he was going to leave. And so, as a matter of fact, when he left out of the room, the thing that he said was, guys, I just want you to know, before tomorrow's game, I love all you guys and you'll always be my heroes. And some of the guys started crying. And, of course, Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael did what they did. And I'm sitting – I always sat next to Gary Fensick because he and I normally watch film after everybody left. And I turned toward Gary and I said, Gary, what is that about? And he said, he didn't tell you, did he? I said, tell me what? So he's leaving, Mike. After tomorrow, I said, no. Who's leaving? He said, Buddy's leaving. I said, no, I know he's not leaving. I ran down to his room and I knocked on his door and I said, Buddy, are you leaving? He said, no, who told you that? And I said, Fensick told me that you're leaving. Are you leaving? He said, No, Mike. I'm not leaving. And so to make a long story short, after the game, he did leave. And he tried calling me about every day. He called me when I was in Hawaii at the Pro Bowl. He called me when I was at home, and I didn't answer the phone. I knew it was him. I didn't answer the phone. And finally, my wife said, Mike, you need to talk to him.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, I'm at the buddy's calling me, and I finally pick up the phone, and I said, you lied to me. And he says, Mike, with the relationship that you and I have, he said, I'm sorry that I lied, but if I would have told you that I was leaving, you wouldn't have played the way you needed to play the next day. You would have been focused on something totally different. The relationship that we had was a different relationship, and I did not want that to affect anything that next day. We had worked too hard to get there. And he said, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you. I'm sorry that I lied, but I felt that I needed to in order for you to do what you had to do. And you know, it's hard for me to do what I had to do, but that's just the game, son. And so we talked for a bit, but I was fired up, man. And I was pissed that he felt that he had to lie to me, but he was right. It would have affected me. And I was in another world. I was thinking about, you know, loyalty and all of those things. And Buddy really had me understand that it was a business. And it was the first time it broke my heart, but it was the first time that something like that had really happened. And that was tough for me, but that was the situation.
Coach, you still hungry to coach? I mean, because like, you got former guys that are coaching now, Deion Sanders, Eddie George, guys getting into the profession in the college ranks. My first question is, do you still have that hunger to coach? And number two, my second question is, would you coach in college?
Well, to answer your first question, after, I was thinking about coaching. What I'm doing now, I really felt after the whole George Floyd incident, mm-hmm. And it really made me take a step back and look at things because I've been preparing to coach for a long time. And but after the George Floyd incident, I saw something that I had not seen before in our society. And I really felt like there was a tug on my heart to really try and do something to help bridge the gap in our country, or it won't matter if we were trying to play football or basketball or anything else. It won't matter. We're going to have some issues that are bigger than that. So I begin to do some things that in those areas that I really feel can make a difference. And don't know if I'll ever coach again. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, you know, praise God. But I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now.
Well, let me, because I wasn't here the last time you were on the Total Access podcast. So kind of off of that, you told M. Rob and D'Angelo Hall last time about throwing on the pads and coaching up Ray Lewis. Now, there's no Ray Lewis in the NFL right now, but is there anybody at least close enough that makes Mike Singletary say, I want to throw the pads on to coach him up?
You know, the there's a kid at Tampa Bay, the middle linebacker at Tampa Bay, number 45. I really like him. And, you know, I think that there's something – he's playing good football, but I think he could be really great. And that's the guy that I see that, you know, if I were going to coach on – put the pads on and coach, it'd be for a guy like that.
So Devin White, there you go.
Devin White. Hold up, Jeezy. I gotta ask him about King Henry. Because I know he just got injured. But coach, you know, I know you a tough dude. That's a big boy, man, running through the middle of defenses, man. And my whole thing and my question to you is, what would young Samurai Mike Singletary do? You see a guy that big running through the middle of the briar patch in the middle of the tackles, and it's your job to make sure he doesn't get any yards, brother.
First of all, I want to say this. I met him at an autograph signing, and I was amazed at how big he was. I said, man, that's unfair, man. You know, this guy is like, you know, you think about guys like Earl Campbell.
Yeah,
he's about as tall as Eric Dickerson and about the size of Earl Campbell. I'm like, come on, bro. You're supposed to be on defensive end. But in all honesty, hey, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on my stuff, and I got to drop it. That's my job. I got to drop it. You know, we got to go for the goal. But, man, he is a talented dude, man. Big old dude. That's unfair to me. That's unfair.
It is. And then he clocks, I think, the fastest time in the NFL per the GPS and claims that he should have been running faster. That was the quote from him that we used on the show, which is just absolutely outrageous. Coach, Mike Rob mentioned the Young and the Restless earlier. He was on the show, which we didn't find out until, and we've been working together very closely on Good Morning Football Weekend for going on 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
To find this out now, I took a step back and I said, I don't know my podcast co-host. I don't know my show co-host well enough. So this is where you come in, because you coach.
Don't fall for it.
Now listen, I know what happens in the locker room is supposed to stay in the locker room, but you can give him, you know, a little sprinkle here and there. Do we have any dirt on Mike Rob or any funny stories that could illustrate things about him that I just don't know?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. The thing about Mike Robinson, if I had some, I probably wouldn't tell you, but Mike is the guy that was always helping somebody. He was always trying to help somebody in the playbook. He was always trying to help somebody with a play. He was always trying to tell guys how. I thought Mike was going to coach, in all honesty, because he's that kind of guy. He has the personality that players of today would really cater to and really gravitate toward, because he's very trusting and it's authentic. He really cares about guys. And I'm telling you, Mike, I really thought you were going to coach. I really did.
Yeah, well, it was something, I think, trust me, coach, like it literally every year, whether we go by the combine or something, there are teams that are asking, you know, I like what I'm doing now. I love doing some stuff with Jeezy and talking to, you know, interesting people and great people like yourself, man. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but, you know, this media thing is pretty cool.
Yeah. And just so you know, Mike, we have our meetings in the green room before the show. Show used to be in person. Hopefully one day will be again. If you walked in a half an hour before the show, you'd say, all right, these guys are going to be talking football. We weren't talking football. I mean, we were talking, I mean, astrology, health, philosophy. I mean, he hits it all. because he's into all that stuff and he's very worldly. Was he like that back in his playing days? I mean, I'm sure it's expanded. Oh, yeah, he was. Okay.
Very well-rounded individual. reminded me a couple of teammates that I played with. I mean, anything you came up with, they had some kind of idea of what you were talking about, whether it was how you dress, whether it was where you're going to go out. Hey, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. I'm telling you. I mean, Mike knew a lot of things about, you know, it's pretty incredible. It really was. Unique individual.
Well, Coach, thank you, brother. I want to ask you one more thing before we let you go. Just briefly, you mentioned how George Floyd and what went on with him kind of changed how you were thinking about the direction of your future, right? If you don't mind me asking, what exactly are you doing out there to kind of push the needle and move the needle so that our society is in a better place?
Well, the first thing that I did, I went to Chicago and I had a police officer drive me around town, the South and West Side. And it's been a while since I had done that. And I went back home to Dallas, Texas, and I couldn't sleep because of what I saw. And so I started a 501c3, Changing Our Perspective, and created an app, which we'll be launching probably around the end of December or January, called Raise Up. And it's basically something that will bridge the gap between the haves and have-nots in our country. And when I look at the gap, I feel that the gap is all about education and health and mental wellness, food insecurity. Those are three things, having access to those things, the haves in our country, being able to provide goods and services for the have-nots. Don't give it to them, put it in a place where they can earn it. And so within our app, you gain points where the have-nots can earn it so that they can have pride and begin to change their behavior. And to me, it's one of the keys to changing our country. I'm very excited about what we're doing. I'm very excited about launching that. And I think it's a win-win situation.
How do you earn the points? I mean, how do you earn it?
They earn points by making good decisions. You know, when one of the things that you have in the have-not community, the underserved, you have, hey, I don't have any money. I don't have any opportunity. I don't have anything. Well, you know what? You do have a choice. So when a kid makes a good decision, I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to read this chapter. When someone goes to their doctor's appointment, you know what? I'm going to go and get my insulin. I'm going to go and do this checkup. Well, they get points for that. And though by those points, you have goods and services that are made available to them because they make good decisions. And to me, that is the thing that, we've never had money in those areas. I remember those days growing up when we didn't have money. Mm-hmm. But we do have a choice. And because we have a choice, we have power. Power to make a difference, power to change our direction.
That's awesome, man. Hey, Coach, if you ever need my services, you ever need me, you ever need me to speak to people, be a part of something, be on ground zero, passing out things, don't forget me, man. I'm going to text you after this and make sure you still have my number, man. I think it's awesome what you're doing. And I can't thank you enough for dropping by the Total Access Podcast this week. And that'll do it for this week's episode of The Locker Room. For more insight with The Locker Room Point of View, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.